What's up, y'all? This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio at apologiaradio.com. Want to talk to you guys about an amazing connection that we have right now with Whitfield Theological Seminary. I want you to run over to whitfield.edu, whitfield.edu, whitefield.edu. I want you to check out the programs they have. They have undergraduate programs at Whitfield College, and they also have Whitfield Theological Seminary for the graduate degree and above and beyond. I think you'll really be impressed with the rigorous nature of the classes, the consistent biblical worldview taught and adhered to. I want you to contact Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get a hold of our friend, Dr. Kenneth Talbot, and start your classes today. ApologiaRadio.com.
Non-rock a boatus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy? Or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
What's up, y'all? This is Apologia Radio, 1360 KPXQ, Phoenix, Arizona. You can land on us on them internets at ApologiaRadio.com. Also subscribe to us on iTunes, also available on them internets. This is fun to say, right? You know it is.
It is fun, yeah.
It is fun to say. You can subscribe to us on iTunes for free. Get all the past episodes. We would love it if you would join with us as a ministry by snatching an episode over there at ApologiaRadio.com. And you can copy and paste it and put it into your Facebook or Twitter feed. Or you can hit a little select button that shows you. You can say Facebook. You can say, what's Dig? Does anybody even use this thing?
I never touched it.
I just see it there and I'm like, oh, interesting. What's that? Google Plus. Google Plus is another thing, right? No? Yeah, Joy's just shaking her head. No.
Don't call Google Minus.
No. People get very upset about that. And so you can share us on your social media, and you can join with us by just sharing Apologia Radio episodes. You guys can pray for us. You can give online at ApologiaRadio.com. You can join us for worship if you're in the Phoenix metro area. We are at the west southwest corner of 60 and Rural in Tempe, Arizona, 10 a.m., Embassy Suites. Typically in Ballroom B, if we have to move to Ballroom A ever, you'll know it because you'll see us there and our trusty greeters and everything else are waving you in, saying hello to you guys. And come join us for worship and the Word together on Sundays, 10 a.m. And I'm in the studio today with Luke the Girl. And I'm just seeing if you're listening. I see if you're listening because you look a little tired. I think we're all a little tired today. Are you tired today? I'm tired today. That's Luke the Bear over there. What's up, Luke? You're back from
AK.
How was it?
Yeah.
Was it cold?
At night it was, yeah.
Yeah?
We went camping.
I don't like camping.
Yeah, no, you don't.
Not fun.
That's because you're a girl.
Yeah, but you're a bear.
Yes.
So you like it.
Yeah.
Did your daughter like it?
She did, yeah. She loved it.
She's a mini bear.
Yeah.
I got
a funny story about her, actually.
And that's Joy, the girl over there.
Yes, it is.
I'm the ninja. Go ahead, Luke.
Okay,
were you
no, you're not the ninja. And I like how last week I was gone and you just tried to, like,
played it up.
It didn't work, though.
No, it did. Everyone else has already chosen.
We haven't found it yet.
Agree to disagree.
Guys.
I think we have found it.
When
no,
in Rome.
We haven't.
Because Ice Durbin is something that's been around for
absolutely
a while.
Absolutely doesn't even fit.
And, oh, if you've seen the picture, it fits perfectly.
We agree to disagree.
Your mom would agree to disagree. And she's in Rome.
I think you're freaky and I like it.
Okay, so anyways, my story. So we were camping, and it was really nice. It was awesome. But my daughter, we would go hiking, and she called it honking.
Honking? We're going honking? Yes. That's awesome. That's
so
good.
We'd be like hiking. She'd be like, Daddy, is this honking?
That's good.
So one actual conversation I had with her, we were hiking along the creek, and my wife was tired, so she went back to the tent to rest. So Evie and I kept walking, hiking, honking. And she goes, Daddy, are we honking? And I said, yes, we're hiking. Yes. Is Mommy honking too? And I said, you know, you're right. Mommy probably honked all the way back to camp.
That's nice. Good job.
Well, it's weird. It's kind of a weird concept to be like, for kids to realize, well, I mean, what is hiking really other than just kind of walking around in a different place than you usually do?
Yeah.
So kids are like, well, aren't we just kind of walking around? Isn't that kind of just what we're doing? You're walking. Like, no, but it's a different thing. It's called hiking.
We're walking. She told my dad, she's like, my daddy and I, we threw rocks in the water. That's honking.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. It's hard to explain to a kid what hiking is because it's really just pretty much walking around in a place.
Or throwing rocks in the water.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what do you think about this?
And tell your Calvinist buddy to put that in his stupid pipe and smoke it.
That's just random.
That's the best, but that's the best quote ever.
It really, really is.
Yeah.
So we're back at Apology Radio. The whole team is back now after my little break and then Pastor Luke's little break. Now we're back. So you're missing your break. So what's up with that?
I'm going to San Diego in a few weeks.
San Diego.
Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to miss the radio show because it's a priority for me. You know?
Oh, that's good. Nice job.
I try not to just like miss it.
Mm. You've missed it before.
I have. You're
yes,
right.
You have. So let's talk about
part six. And so.
I'm sorry.
So,
the racist
dragon. I'll be the racist dragon. You ever hear that?
Part
oh, yeah.
Six.
Yes.
Fly to the Concords. So, it's
wonderful. All of the villagers chased Albie, the racist dragon, into a very cold and very scary cave.
I met a racist dragon.
It was so dark and so scary.
The other day. I don't think I told began. You guys a little racist dragon. I'll actually leave that in the background because I just like the way it feels.
Mm-hmm. Soothing.
It's like a children's story.
Yep.
Turn into jelly beans.
So anyway, I'm coming home, and I see this well-dressed black dude, like, at this very, very dangerous, like, intersection, 16th Street, like, Phoenix, right? It's very dangerous. And he is got a whole stack of newspapers in his hands. He's dressed very, very nice. But he's walking in the middle of the lanes. Like, he's not even in the crosswalks. He's like, as cars are pulling up, he's walking in between the cars. Cars are like zipping past him. He's like on the dotted line, like the lines, like just walking up and down, trying to get cars to stop to hand. But when that light would like, you know, go, he would go to the other side of where cars were stopped and do just back and forth all four corners. So I see the guy and I'm like, I want to know what he's handing out. And then I kind of realize, oh, he's like a Farrakhan.
I was going to say, is that what he was?
Farrakhan, like Muslim guy. Yeah. I was like, I want a newspaper. Can I have it? Can I have a newspaper? So I pulled in to get some gas, and then I pulled out to because he was at my side. I was like, I'm going to see if he'll give me one. I want to have one. I'm going to see. He's by my house. I'm going to see what he's handing out. So I pull up, and I stop at the stoplight. He walks right up to my car. I roll the window down. I smiled at him. I put my hand out. I was like, hi. And he looks right at me, walks right past me, and goes to all the cars around me where there were, like, you know, where black people were. And I was like, man, like, I'm a heart hurt.
Every person deserves to be treated like a person.
I'll be the racist. Well, not anymore. Dragon.
It's a bit upsetting, because, like, who? Maybe I want to be like a follower of Farrakhan. How does he know?
Did he have a bow tie on?
It's because I'm green, isn't it? Like, I mean, seriously. Yes, he had a bow tie on. That's one of the things that, like, stood out. And then I saw his newspaper. He had a picture of Farrakhan. It bothers me. Like, why can't I have a newspaper?
Does anybody care anymore about those guys? It seems like for a while they were all huge in the news, but I haven't heard anything.
Well, it's because the people who want to take their literature, they won't give them. They won't give
it
to
them. Oh, is
that
what it is?
It's because I'm white. I what if, honestly, he doesn't know where I'm from. He doesn't know what I got.
You know what? I when I lived back in Chicago, I did a job, a construction job project, redid a kitchen, like right down the street from his church.
Farrakhan.
Yeah. And my truck got cleaned out. All my tools got stolen.
Oh, man.
Like in a matter of like 10 minutes because I was going in and out of this house and my truck was all locked up and everything. Like, yeah. I went out, got something, locked it up, came back in, went out 10 minutes later to get something else. And with somebody must have been watching me, but they cleaned out the back of my truck in 10 minutes.
No, that sounds racist to me.
Yeah, I think
what
so.
What you just said.
they're probably wearing bow ties.
Yeah, nice. Oh, I mean, honestly, okay, let's use an identifying mark here. For me, I really believe this. One of the identifying marks of false religion and evil and corruption in humanity is racism.
Mm-hmm.
To hate another human being because of their skin color and everything else. Yeah. We all come from the same parents. You know, I think only the biblical worldview ultimately gives you a foundation to do away with racism. Mm-hmm. We all come from the same parents.
Yeah.
Atheism, naturalistic materialism does not give you the ability to do away with racism foundationally. There's no value, there's no dignity to human beings, and no equality ultimately necessary. I mean, survival of the fittest is a core portion and belief of that. So racism can be bred in that. As a matter of fact, if you look at a lot of historical stuff from evolutionary scientists and as it was being propagated, you see a lot of racist, you know, thinking and thought that it connected to the worldview itself, not just the personal preference, but actually the worldview gave rise to it.
Well, Hitler was right on, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think, yeah, exactly, right? You know, you look at other false religions like Mormonism. Yeah, Mormonism, classic example. Mormonism. I mean, I have the last edition of the Book of Mormon that had the words white and delightsome and the very racist language of, you know, white people as superior to black people, you know, saying that black people are cursed by God. They're not able to hold the priesthood. Then after the Civil Rights Movement, God changes his mind, you know, and it's, oh, now we're good with black people. You know, false religion, easy to see. Hatred for another person because their skin color is the greatest display that you don't know God, in my mind. And so, you know, this is just, for me, it was just a settling moment. I was like, you know, obviously, you know, it's false religion. You know, he's passing me right up because I'm white, you know, and that's the truth. So, I don't know. When he passed me by, I was like, I'm a little bit miffed. So I tried another corner. I drove the other direction, went another corner. He passed me up again. So I was like, man, you don't know what I got. I'm from D.C., brother. You don't even know where I was raised. You don't know where I'm from. I mean, maybe more down than you are. You don't even know this, right? He doesn't know me. And so anyway, I called the cops and got him off the corner.
Nice. Well done.
Not because necessarily just the Muslim stuff, but also the racism. I was raised by a black woman named Rose. That's all I'm saying. That's the truth.
Did you say truth?
I don't even want to say anything in this segment.
It was the truth. I was raised by a black woman named Rose. You didn't know this?
No.
My son knows this, don't you? He knows it. No, growing up, my woman who raised me, my parents, I was a latchkey.
I don't even know what to say.
I was a latchkey kid. I was a latchkey kid.
Yeah.
And so the woman that used to watch me for like years growing up was a woman named Rose. I love Rose.
Where at? In D.C.?
No, in Holland.
Isn't that weird?
Oh,
you got something playing.
Oh, you
could have played my clip, okay, but okay. I can't.
So,
I can't
okay, know. Listen. First segment, opening up Apology Radio. Get us at apologyradio.com. We got some comments. How about read one now? We have time for one?
We got three of them, so I'm going to go ahead and read one of them right now from Richie Brock.
This is on iTunes?
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, thank you for... Okay, I'll... 30 seconds?
Okay,
geez. Encouraging, insightful, and reformed. In my opinion, this is the best of the best when it comes to Christian radio shows. They take on a variety of topics, including current events from a Christian perspective, and really bring a fun, energetic, and relevant approach to the teaching of the gospel, street-level apologetics, the Christian walk, full stop.
Full stop. Not even playing. You don't know what I got. ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio. Right back.
What's up, y'all? This is Apologia Radio. ApologiaRadio.com. Get us on iTunes. Subscribe to us. You can maybe, this is supposed to be better than the music that I've chosen.
It is way better than...
Honestly, that's...
Yes.
And listeners will actually agree with this. I don't think all the listeners would agree with this.
Here's the thing. You clearly weren't listening to the lyrics.
Well, I know.
He can't. He's already proven that
screaming.
He can't hear them.
They're screaming.
No matter what,
screaming.
He can't. Yeah, they're not
Listen
screaming.
Listen to him.
By
he's
way.
Not even. He's not even singing songs.
Okay.
Now, if this is.
I think your presuppositions are getting in the way right now.
He's saying glory.
I wouldn't be able
Glorious.
To tell.
Glorious.
Is this like when we were driving
it's
in a car?
Because it's not. Just sprockets, so you don't understand it.
So, all right, let's get back to the comments.
Well, hold on. Okay, I will. But here's my point. I played this for two reasons. One, I played it for Joy because she loves As Cities Burn.
Yeah, I do.
But two...
And I like it.
I'm
and I
able,
understand it.
I am now able to tie this song that she likes. I'm able to tie it into The Apostle.
How's that?
Because he's saying glory.
Oh, okay. Glory. Oh, glory.
Now you're okay
Joy.
With it.
You
Interesting.
Are about slow-
Joy.
Interesting.
Joy, have you seen it?
No, I
the
haven't.
The Apostle? Mm-mm. Are you seriously? You're never going to watch it?
Nope.
Glory. Never? Robert Duvall.
Never.
The Apostle. Glory. You never. Like, honestly. I think you've actually watched it.
I have not watched
bluff.
It.
I'm calling
I
you
have
bluff.
Not watched it.
You watched it, and you're pretending lots of
I have
it.
Not.
Just to irritate me.
I have
me.
Not.
Just, do you know that I wake up at like 3 in the morning, and I'm like, Joy. Like, you haven't seen it yet, and it bothers me. This bothers me. No, really, it's not right. Joy, honestly, it's not right. Joy, Luke, Pastor Luke, we need to have a sit down with Joy and talk to her about
it. You, I can't believe Marcus hasn't seen The Apostle. Yeah, this is exactly why I played. This is the kind of music you played in your dojo, right?
Actually, I did.
Yes,
honestly, from like I would open the karate school like at 2 o'clock, and it'd be there at like 10 o'clock, and it, all day long there was like pumping in it worked. I had a very seriously big karate school. It was very popular.
I don't think it's because of the music.
It was. People loved it, dude. Came in with a lot of energy.
You probably would have doubled in size if you had good music.
All right, go ahead.
Anyway,
more comments.
Okay.
More comments. iTunes. Leave a comment, guys, and leave us a rating on iTunes.
Okay, so this says Delicious by Dave C5118.
That's how you know they're a real listener.
Yeah.
Delicious.
It just says Jeff, your mom.
Oh my goodness!
Nope, just kidding.
Oh.
No, just kidding.
That's awesome.
That wasn't.
Really. It says I look forward to every new episode over any other podcast.
Woo!
What?
Like ones that might involve fanny packs.
Yeah.
Your show has been a real blessing to me in my Christian walk. I've been blessed with instruction and entertained. I've seen many new biblical truths represented.
Represent.
And I just want to thank you all. Jeff, Luke, and Joy, you are a blessing to Christ Church. Much
Praise
love,
God.
Dave.
Praise
Thanks,
God.
Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Okay. You know, I'm looking for... Okay, here it is. It's weird how these comments are on iTunes. They don't have them like in order of date.
Yeah, I saw
it's
that.
It's bizarre. I don't understand. iTunes, get on that. Okay. This one says, Convicting, Empowering, and Entertaining by Nathan David Chilton.
What is happening with that?
Apologia Radio is an amazing show and a breath of fresh air for the modern church. They preach truth and they entertain. The show is fun, but is also a very convicting application of God's word to our thoughts, words, and actions. I love the hosts of the show. Thank you. They bless and challenge me every time. P.S. My love for the show was strong enough to overcome my dislike of iTunes long enough to post this review.
Woo! Thank you.
Well, thank you, Nathan David Chilton.
Nathan David Chilton. Wait a second. Let's just ask it. Are you the son of the David Chilton, or is that just an accident?
Or are you just... Is that your screen name?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I don't know.
That's good?
That's
all
it.
The comments? All right.
Yeah.
All right. We're good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're now going to go into a pretty heavy discussion. Get ready for it. So it'd be a good idea, I think, to get pen and paper handy if you're at home listening to this on your computer or via podcast. If you are listening to this in the car right now or on the radio right now, Saturday between 4 to 6 p.m. in Arizona, be a good idea to go to apologiaradio.com, get the episode, listen to it again, because we're going to be reviewing a video that was put up by someone named Natural Mama. on YouTube. And the reason this came up is we discussed last, was it last week? Last week, the Emily Letts video. Emily Letts was the abortion, she calls herself an abortion doula, all over the national news. This woman brings humanity down to the level of animals in that she gets pregnant, shows very little concern, for the father. Notice no one's even talking about the father. Mm-hmm. She's just, I got pregnant, I kill my baby. No father. It's just, you know, I like what Dr. White's commentary on this was. And that's just, you know, it's just humanity just devolved to just animals. Mm-hmm. Just animals, right? You know, I get pregnant. You know, the guy was the sperm donor. I got pregnant. Now, you know, I don't want the baby, so I'll kill the baby and I'll make it a positive experience I want to share with others.
Well, and I mean, even a lot of animals don't kill their young.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Right.
And a lot, and some animals, you know, the guy's not just, they don't just like, the dad, the male is around, you know, and raises the animal offspring or whatever. Mm-hmm. So this is even almost just like, it's like certain animals, but it's really not even, it's not even earthly.
Yeah, it's right. It is a display of where culture goes, and they abandon the word of God as their foundation. Is that you have, in Emily Letts' case, an example of a devaluation of life, a hatred for life, ultimately, as an abject selfishness that's hard to even describe. You know, her video describes, you know, I wasn't ready. This, and you know, it's me. Yep. No concern for the other distinct life within her. We're going to talk about that as we move on here. But also, and I, again, Dr. White's commentary on this was, I think, fascinating as he pointed out the fact that, you know, where's the father in all this? Mm. It's just that human beings now are brought down to the level of pure animalistic, you know, behavior.
Yeah.
You know, we bumped into one another. There's a resultant, you know, pregnancy because of it. And let's just off it. No description of the father's role in this. Mm. He was just a sperm donor. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's it, ultimately. And, you know, the devaluation of her, of humanity, of life within her. And then the fact that there's the bragging of the fact that I can create life within me and then ultimately destroy it.
Yep.
A unique life that will never meet us again. Yep. We will never see that life ever again. Ever. And she celebrates it. Now, not only does Emily Letts celebrate it, which was disturbing enough, and we pray for Emily Letts, pray that God opens her eyes. That's the truth. But also, video came my way by Natural Mama, and the name of the video was, get this, this is the name of the video, the title on the video, I Love Abortion. You're going to get to hear it, and it is chilling to listen to it as this woman called Natural Mama, I Love Abortion, has children playing in the background. ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
Back at Apologia Radio. You guys, you know where to get us. ApologiaRadio.com. That's Luke Pearson, the bear over there. Joy the girl. Ninja. All right. It's a big discussion. You know how we love on this show to make sure it's a show that you want to engage with, a show that isn't afraid to tackle the tough issues, but at the same time tries to recognize the necessity of God's grace. All of us are sinners. All of us in ourselves unworthy of God's grace. That's the truth. That's the absolute truth. All of us fallen. Now, I am as equally guilty and worthy of condemnation as Emily Letts and this woman who goes about by the name of Natural Mama on YouTube saying, I love abortion. Know this, and I know she'll probably hear this episode. Understand something. We believe that you have value. You are worthy of our respect and all the dignity that we can give to you and direct your way. We are as worthy of death and condemnation and as fallen. It is the grace of God that has met us, and we pray that the grace of God meets you. You need to know that. So obviously, we like to have fun on this show, but this is a serious discussion because it does display where we're going in our culture when we've abandoned the Word of God as our foundation. There's no value to life. There's no solid, concrete things. There's just personal preference. There's just your own belief, your own biochemical responses firing off, and your own personal thoughts. It doesn't have any attachment to anybody else. No universal laws at all. No unchanging laws. Nothing objective outside of us, ultimately. No justice ahead of any of us. When you abandon God, that's what you're left with. You know, I was reading Isaiah 2. I'm doing a study through Matthew at church here. And so I was reading Isaiah 2. I'm reading Isaiah because if you can't understand Matthew ultimately fully to see the beauty of Matthew, the gospel according to Matthew, unless you know to think in Isaiah, because he's just thinking Isaiah the whole way. It's beautiful. But there was something as I was reading through Isaiah. I actually happened to be in just, let's see here, chapter 2, I believe. No, 3. And it had just a description of Judah and Jerusalem, the judgment. Listen to this. Verse 9 of chapter 3. For the look on their faces bears witness against them. They proclaim their sin like Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to them. For they have brought evil on themselves. Here's the encouragement. Tell the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds. Woe to the wicked. It shall be ill with them. For what his hands have dealt out shall be done to him, to them. Or him. Sorry, there you go. Okay, so I wanted to read that because if you look at Isaiah 3, the context there is encouragement to the righteous. Encouragement to God's people. You just need to know the righteous, will be well with you. I know that it's difficult if you look today at times where you see people satisfied with and applauding sinful behavior and destructive behavior. The murder of innocents, babies killed, at least 3,000 babies a day killed in our nation, in our neighborhoods, in our communities. People celebrate it. This woman here, Natural Mama, I love abortion, while she has two beautiful babies, children playing behind her. It's just madness. It's chilling. I know we look at the culture and we say, it's so far gone. What's the point? People celebrating disharmonious relationships and destruction of society. We see people calling evil good and good evil, and we say, what's the point? And you look at the hope that God gives us in his word is the righteous have the roots that stay. The ungodly are like plants planted on the top of the soil that just blow away and they wither away. These lifestyles bring only death. It's the culture of death, right? We talk about it all the time. It's the culture of death. The fact that today we could have a woman with children playing behind her in a video celebrating the murder of a child, it's an amazing thing. Imagine just 100 years ago, if a woman stood on a street corner and just proclaimed to everyone coming by, I love aborting babies. Hmm. People would have just been horrified. And now we have this celebrated. So listen, you need to listen to what's said. Because I picked this video for a reason. What Natural Mama says on this video is completely unnatural for a mama. But I picked this video for a reason. Because the arguments that Natural Mama uses in her video in support of Emily Letts killing her child, with the proclamation on the video, I love abortion, the arguments that she uses, the atmosphere that she's living in, is what we need to face today in our culture. So listen to this video and you'll see the face of our culture. You'll see the culture of death. And you'll begin to see the inconsistencies of her position. You need to hear it. Get a pen and paper ready. Be ready to record, write down what this woman says, and know how to respond to it. Stay with us, guys. Important episode of Apologia Radio, responding to the culture of death. I love abortion by Natural Mama. Be right back. ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio. Right back.
Change, some stay the same. I'm from H-Town to D-Town to Memphis, man. One thing, it's a show everywhere I go. People caught up in themselves, money calls a closure. They talk about it all the time and put it in their song. They drive around and play it loud like it ain't nothing wrong. And all they talk about is simple stuff. Got everybody acting bad, thinking that they a thug. And they trying to drown me out.
But now they ain't gonna count me out. I got a backpack full of tracks, plus I keep a Johnny Mac so we can pan it out. Plus I'm bumping
these. He keeps a Johnny Mac.
And is he saying his fanny pack?
It is fanny pack. He must be listening to Backpack Radio. All right, y'all. Apology Radio. Hey, again, I know I've been saying it, but you need to go to iTunes and leave a comment. Rate us, guys, there. Subscribe. Get all the past episodes via podcast. What's up, Joy?
That was kind of a weird...
Just random look over. Joy, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Never seen The Apostle?
Nope.
No? You realize that all of our listeners are on our side on this. Do you understand this?
I honestly have no problem with that.
You know, Sarah Kretz went and watched it, and she liked it.
What's that?
Sarah Kretz went and watched it because we were talking about
it. I know, and she liked it, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That has no effect on me whatsoever.
I know what you're trying to do, and you think I can be had, don't you?
Is that Billy Bob Tembi?
Well, I can move it.
Nope.
I can move it.
Joy,
just as quick as you
can.
One
of the best parts of the whole film. Are you ready? Nobody move that book, Joy.
Everybody say nobody moves that book.
Nobody moves that book.
Say it one more time.
Nobody moves that book.
And a third time.
Nobody moves that book.
And a fourth time.
Nobody moves that book.
One more time.
Nobody moves that book.
No, sir.
Glory.
Joy.
Okay, fine. I'll watch it.
Yay!
No, I'm not going to.
Oh, you're wretched, honestly.
I love doing that.
My son is in the studio today. Sage is in the studio today. He would encourage you to watch The Apostle.
Okay.
Sage, say nobody moves that book. All right, guys.
It's not going to work.
If we have a year of episodes ahead of us, we play little clips here and there. You will have seen the entire show.
Or at least heard it.
Just heard it, though.
That doesn't matter.
Against my will.
That's unbelievable.
Against my
will. This is seriously bad. Last night I destroyed Joy and Ninja Can.
No, you didn't.
I did.
You didn't.
Did you lose?
You did not.
Did you lose?
Is that why your hands are bleeding?
Nothing.
I could see in Joy's eyes something I've never seen before last night, and there was a competitiveness there. Like she lost, and it was like, ha ha ha. And she was looking at me like, not at all.
Okay,
cool,
can
happy.
You explain to them why I lost, though?
Okay, Ninja Can is a game you usually play in youth groups where you have to, mm-hmm. like, basically be in a circle and throw mm-hmm. each other into a garbage can mm-hmm. in the middle, and... I do this all the time. This uh-huh. is what I do at 2
home?
In the morning. Yep. I'm practicing Ninja yeah. Can.
And there was no other like circumstances.
We knocked everybody out.
Caused me.
And it was just Joy and I left, and Ninja Can I threw into a can, and she was not happy. She was like, ha
no,
ha,
no, no. Okay, so here's what happened. Okay. I was forced to make a decision.
Uh-huh.
My glasses were falling off my face.
So?
And I had to make a decision in that moment.
Yeah.
To decide, do I let them fall, break, get stepped on, break, and then I have no way of driving home or going to work
just,
or doing anything.
It just sounds like an excuse
until
to
I
me.
Can get no.
You're truly not a ninja, apparently.
No.
No, no.
So here's the deal. I offer you this challenge right now. Are you ready for this? Next week, when the kids are all together, youth are all together, the Utes. Okay, you and I, Ninja Can. And if I throw you into the can, if I get you in the can, you're watching The Apostle.
No.
Why?
Because
you won't even do it as a competition.
No.
What's wrong with you? This is ridiculous.
Dude, did you beat her like a one-legged stuffed child?
I did.
Glory.
You did not.
I did, Joy.
No.
I did.
How long do
There's
you think?
Witnesses.
How long?
Huh?
How long did we battle?
Well, it's because there were other people involved.
How long did we battle?
When
just
I threw
you and me.
When I threw you into the trash can?
Because my glasses were going to fall
Look
off
how
my
upset.
Face.
Look at this. See, this is a competitiveness and joy. It's awesome.
No, I want you to think about it. How long?
About 30 seconds.
No.
When you and I went at it, it was about 30 seconds.
No, it was not
yeah,
30,
it was about
30
seconds.
Seconds.
It was about 30 seconds. Then I saw you.
It was
like,
not
you
30
you
seconds.
Shook your you shook your face so your glasses fell and you were like, oh, my glasses are falling
no,
off.
You mad.
You shook your face. Like you were like, oh, my glasses. Look. Oh, I fell. Oh, it's because my glasses.
I'll play dirty.
All
fine.
Right. It's on.
That's fine.
Ninja Can.
Yep.
All right. You're seriously not going to. This is ridiculous.
I'm just not going to. What I am going to do is continue to tell you guys that I'm going to watch it.
I don't believe you anymore.
And then switch it around because I love the look on your faces.
I knew you were lying.
Well, on Facebook that one time I was like, I broke down and watched it. Not, I didn't. What? And I could just sense that you guys were so happy.
To all of our listeners, we do not condone lying.
No. Like, what kind of laugh was that? She's like,
oh, gosh.
Getting all right. More evil.
All right, let's get right into it, guys. All right. All right. Pray for joy. All right, guys. So we're going to talk now. Serious discussion now. This is how Apology Radio works, back and forth. So the video is by Natural Mama. That is her handle on YouTube. So you can't miss the video because it says, I love abortion. In support of Emily Letts. And this video is a full-on display, vivid display, of the culture of death.
Romans 1.
That we live in. Romans chapter 1. You guys feel free to jump in here at any moment so we can dialogue through. Romans chapter 1. They knew God. They did not glorify God. They exchanged God for idols. They profess to be wise. They become fools. They exchange the glory of the immortal God for an image, so we become idolaters, and again, profess to be wise, become fools. But the interesting thing is, the result of fallen humanity is not just that we know God, we suppress the truth about Him, we switch God for idols, and we become fools, and our thoughts are futile. But it's the display at the end of Romans chapter 1, mm-hmm. And what in Romans,
I'm already there, actually,
you can get, go for it.
Let me start in 28.
Just get to the part about the applause.
Yeah, I'll get that. So it's starting 28. It says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They are filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, which we'll see, boastful, which we'll see, inventors of evil, which we'll see, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them.
I love abortion in support of Emily Letts.
Hey, YouTube. Today I want to talk about a girl named Emily Letts. And I'm sure a lot of you have already seen this story. It's gone viral and everybody is talking about it. Emily is a 25-year-old abortion counselor from New Jersey. And when she got pregnant unexpectedly, she decided to film her abortion to show that there can be a positive abortion story. Emily's inspired a lot of controversy with her video on both sides of the fence.
Okay, she decides to, she unexpectedly gets pregnant, which results in what? We never want to talk about the result of the unexpected pregnancy. Oh, it was unexpected. I wasn't ready. Okay, great. Can we fill in the blanks there? What was the result of the unexpected pregnancy? What is there?
It wasn't like somebody sneezed and she caught it.
Right. Right. It's not a virus you've caught. So you had sex, and having sex, you produced what? A unique and distinct life. We want to use terms like pregnancy, and we want to use terms like fetus, because we want to kind of exchange the discussion over somewhere else so that we don't talk about what's actually there.
Yeah.
We don't talk about the distinct, unique human being that now exists within a mother, right? Distinct from her, yes, in her, but not her.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. Biologically speaking, scientifically speaking, most of all, biblically speaking, it is a distinct life, separate from you. And again, it's just interesting that the way it's described, she unexpectedly got pregnant. So what?
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah.
Your wife is pregnant now. Did you expect it?
No, not at all. And that's a great point I was going to actually say. I mean, this is our second pregnancy, both times completely unexpected. Right. And yeah, I mean, the first one, my wife was 7 weeks pregnant when we found out.
Right.
This one, it was real early, but still completely unexpected. And we didn't like want to end the life of the child. We rejoiced.
Yeah. We talk about ruthless though.
Mm-hmm.
Ruthless.
Yep.
It's ruthless to say Emily Letts wanted to film her abortion experience to show that there can be a positive abortion story. Question? Positive for whom?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Positive for whom?
Mm-hmm.
We're forgetting something, aren't we? Always forgetting something. People that are pro murder, as this is, that believe in ending the life of their own children and supporting the ending of life of their own children always seem to forget when we talk about these issues. It's, it's they weren't ready for it. It's going to be difficult for them. All these different things, you know, positive abortion experience. We're forgetting something. What about the distinct human life that you are ending, dismembering, disemboweling, decapitating within yourself? Mm-hmm. Positive abortion experience for whom? Who's it positive for? For the mother.
Mm-hmm. Potentially.
Potentially.
Yeah.
On the short term.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not always pleased.
No. You don't have to deal with the fallout that I dealt with for 4 years as a hospital chaplain with countless mothers who had killed their babies in front of me, that had tried to kill themselves, who drank themselves nearly to death and used. And you, she says in this video, and these are rare things. Well, you haven't sat in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
I have. Mm-hmm. I know. I can introduce you to the women that will tell you that I went on a binge to try and kill myself because of the guilt and shame of what I did.
Well, and it's not rare. She said, you know, these are rare cases.
Right.
But it's not rare for someone to die during an abortion, because 100% of the time someone dies during an abortion.
Yeah, that's right. That's
even
right.
If it's not the mom.
That's right.
100% of the time someone is unsatisfied with the abortion, and it's the baby. 100% of the time someone is scared and a life is ended.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Yes.
No, I was going to say that even if they want to say that it's a fetus and not a baby, it still feels pain, which obviously we disagree with. But there's still pain for that life being ended.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a great point you just brought up. I didn't think about it like that.
Yeah.
Okay. People that say that they're pro-choice who are against Emily having a positive, happy abortion story, which doesn't make any sense to me. So you've got the pro-lifers who are doing their usual thing of like, she killed a baby. She's a baby murderer. And then you've got pro-choicers who are saying like, well, I'm pro-choice, but she should have been on birth control. I'm pro-choice, but she should at least be humble about it. I'm pro-choice, but they've got a million reasons why she's wrong for having an abortion and being positive about it.
So you have to pardon the difficulty in listening and the distractions going on. There's a child behind her.
Mm-hmm. Two.
Two children behind her. Playing, smiling, laughing, while she creates a video that says, I love abortion. Mm-hmm. Honestly, at times I found myself listening to this and getting distracted by the kids that are laughing and playing in the background, which I think is wonderful. Praise God for these beautiful. By the way, Natural Mama, you have some wonderful, beautiful children. Yes. That's amazing. Praise God you have those children. Praise God you didn't end their lives.
Yes.
We want to thank God that you did not exercise what is your belief system that you should be able to end the lives of these children. And we thank God that you didn't and that they're alive today behind you. We praise God for that. We think it's God's blessing in your life. But it is difficult to listen to this because while she's arguing for the murder of children, she has her own children behind her.
I was just going to say, as you're listening to this video, she is extremely uneducated in a lot of her claims.
Mm-hmm.
And I would even say...
And we're going to get into that.
Yeah, and say even ignorant in a lot of stuff she says. So. Yeah. Just be listening for that.
Yeah. So we have a whole hour left. And in the next hour, we're going to get into the meat of the discussion here. I think some very helpful things. You're going to get to listen to some of the biological discussions, some of the distinctions between what's within you now and what you are even when you're 50 and 60 years old. We're going to talk about those things from both a biblical perspective and even a biological perspective. We're going to answer this abortion video. Natural Mama, in support of Emily Letts, I love abortion. Culture of death on display right here on Apologia Radio. That's the girl over there. That's the bear. And the ninja. What's up? Yes.
Ice Derby.
We're right back, guys. ApologiaRadio.com.
How many books do you know of that address topics of education and welfare, local government, state government, taxation, money and banking, free markets, courts, war and the military, and the executive power? How many books do you know actually talk about these topics from a biblical perspective and set forth all of the issues, ideas, the history, and the hurdles, and the blueprints for the way forward? Hi, I'm Joel McDermott with AmericanVision.org. In Restoring America One County at a Time, I cover all these topics and more, showing you how America was once free, how those freedoms were lost, and giving you an uncompromising biblical approach to get those freedoms back. I focus on practical steps, local solutions, personal sacrifices, and it has a multi-generational vision. So don't just sit around talking about restoring America. Actually do something. And you can start by getting my book, Restoring America One County at a Time, at AmericanVision.org.
This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio. Get us at ApologiaRadio.com. The profanation of marriage is gaining legs within our culture with the same-sex marriage debate. This is, church, a gospel issue. We have to be salt. We must be light on this issue of same-sex marriage.
This is Joy Temby with Apologia Radio. I urge you guys to pray for the homosexual community, then log on to realharmony.org to equip yourselves with the resources we've provided.
This is the Ministry Bear. Here's the issue. The same-sex attracted community has a symbol that's universally recognized. It's an equal sign. You see it everywhere. Until now, the Christian community has not had a symbol that represents true, harmonious, biblical marriage. Go to realharmony.org and buy a sticker. They're $3 a piece. Get your church to buy them by the truckloads. Help us redeem the culture. And let me reiterate, this is not a political issue only. This is a gospel issue. Realharmony.org.
Coastlands, and give attention to you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother. He named my name. Now the Lord says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. Psalm 22, 9 through 10. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. Took me from the womb. Psalm 51:5, even about our natural state, is fallen. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Conceive me. The uniqueness there of life and description of life in the womb. And if you want to know what our heart is on the issue of abortion, natural mama, you should hear the verse in Proverbs 24:11 through 12. The Word of God gives us a basis for the defense of the helpless, the defense of the innocent. There is such a thing as innocent and guilty in the scriptures. And we have a basis with the Word of God for even valuing life at all. You don't with your rejection of God. Proverbs 24:11 through 12. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. We're commanded by God to rescue those who are being taken away by death. Now, in your worldview, natural mama, and by the way, I had some interaction with her on YouTube. She did not want to be on the show. I invited her to be on the show. She did not want to, and she asked me not to discuss this on the show. But, you know, natural mama, when you put up a video publicly that can be accessed by anybody around the world saying, I love abortion, that's fair game. Mm-hmm. You put it up, we're going to discuss it. And I know this woman rejects the Bible, rejects God's word. And so because of that, natural mama, you have no basis to complain at all about anything. At all. All you have is personal preference. That's it. And your personal preference doesn't matter to anybody else. You're not in charge of anybody. You have no transcendent anything outside of your own personal preference. All you have is personal likes or dislikes, and that can change and ebb and flow with time and history. And if you put morality in the hands of society, it can change. What Demas gives, Demas can take away. Mm-hmm. The people. And if you say, well, you know, we base morals, as she said in this thread, based on empathy, what's good for somebody else, we're not hurting anybody. Well, you just completely contradicted yourself, didn't you? Because your video says, I love abortion.
Which I think is ridiculous. Emily made this video so that she could share her story. 1 in 3 women will have an abortion in their lifetime. And of those women, 90% report feeling relief as their primary emotion after the abortion. 90% of women are relieved to have an abortion. They're not guilty. They might be guilty, but their primary thing is relief. So Emily works with these women, and she said that she sees women who come into the clinic all the time, and they are terrified. They think they're going to be cut open. They think they're going to be infertile afterwards. And mind you, they're still seeking an abortion, but they think it's terrible. Emily wanted to show the realities of abortion. Even if you get a surgical abortion instead of the abortion pill, it's a 3 to 5 minute procedure. It's fast, it's easy, and it's safe.
All right.
First, Mike, where does she pull those statistics from?
Right, exactly.
90%? Like, what?
Well, also,
do you ever notice when
were they asked that question?
Do you ever notice that people who do statistics are always in a 90% range? Well, 90%.
Yeah.
And at 99%, 90%, right?
Well, okay, so like 3 minutes after their abortion, when they still have drugs in their system, or
and
I don't know.
The fact that she describes it as completely safe. What are we forgetting? What have we forgotten?
It's 100% of the time it's not safe.
Yes.
It's never safe for at least one of the people.
At least.
Guess what? It was safe to gas the Jews as well.
Right. This shows the abject selfishness and brutality of our culture of death.
Well, and I also want to point out that in terms of just feeling relief, I mean, I guess it's very possible that many women have felt relief. I have also not felt the full brokenness that I should over my sin. Does that mean it wasn't sin?
Right.
No. It means that when you go based on feelings and not objective truth, then if chances are you're probably not feeling bad enough about some of the stuff you've done.
That's right.
So that's really not even an argument.
Yeah, we'd argue that your sin has blinded you. And if you do feel relief after this sort of thing, I would argue that there are lots of people who commit crimes all the time that feel relief and feel good about what they've actually done.
Yeah.
And there's lots of people who engage in all kinds of sexual activity that I'm sure even natural mama would decry as evil and immoral and don't do. But you know what? The reason that they continue to perpetuate those things is because they actually feel relief.
Yeah.
They feel a sense of satisfaction and harmony in themselves when they engage in these sorts of things. So the argument that they feel relief does not change the matter of the fact, and that is that there is always 100% pain, suffering, and death in an abortion.
Well, and I want to ask you this. All the women you've seen come out of the abortion clinic that have had an abortion, what would you say the percentage of them was that looked relieved?
Zero.
Yeah, exactly.
Zero. We go to the abortion mills. By the way, Natural Mama, you called us protesters. We bring the good news of salvation and forgiveness. Natural Mama, you need to know this. Our church, going to these abortion mills that we go to, we've saved over 30 babies from death. I've held those babies in my arms. My question I would ask you, Natural Mama, is just this. Should they be dead? Carmelo, Olivia Grace, that I've held in my arms, that were saved from the Planned Parenthood in Tempe because we were there. You would say protesting. We would say bringing the gospel and trying to rescue these women and these fathers. Should they be dead? That's my question I have to ask you. Should we have not been there, and should they be dead today, those babies, Carmelo? Should he be dead today? That's what I would ask you. But let me just say, in answer to Luke's question, no, standing outside these abortion mills, when you watch these women leave, you see it looks like their soul was sucked through their body. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, you see the most broken people you can possibly imagine waddling out of the abortion mill. Yeah. They don't look satisfied. I've seen women coming out of the abortion mill soaked in tears. That's truth. And I've seen that so many times that I've lost count. And you know what's interesting too, Natural Mama, all your support of women, and you look like you're the champion of the women's cause and everything else. You know what Planned Parenthood and all these murder mills don't do after they send you women away? Is they don't care what happens to you. They don't care about your emotional state. They don't care about the guilt and the shame you're going to feel. They send you on your way, and they don't care.
They got their
they
money.
Don't care. They got their money. And
well,
that's
and this
it.
Cornerstone of women's rights kills women.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm not talking about just moms.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm talking about little baby girls that are women. They're female.
Half a million baby girls, women, potential women.
It kills women.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
So that makes no sense.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, it's eliminating the black race in America. That's a fact.
And was done so intentionally to do that.
Yes, your support of all these things. Does not forget where it comes from and who the big champion supporter of Margaret Sanger. Don't forget what she taught about black people and what she was attempting
openly,
to do.
Openly,
yes. But also, great point, from one woman to another, telling her that you are eliminating girls and women.
Yeah.
Okay.
Above all, it's safe.
For whom?
Pro-lifers would have you believe that abortion is terrifying. They'll tell you stories of women who died after their abortion, women who killed themselves after their abortion.
Honestly, my approach is to first talk about the baby. I don't care about, in the moment, I am not overly concerned about the selfish act in the woman that drives her to kill her own child. I'm more concerned in the moment when the one's carrying the baby in for the baby. And so I'm not calling out to women and talking to women saying, but you're going to feel so bad.
Yeah.
I'm saying, don't murder your child.
Well, if you saw, I mean, in the Planned Parenthood parking lot, if you saw someone murdering a child, you wouldn't walk up to the murderer and go, you are going to feel really bad later.
That's right.
You would snatch that child up and you'd run.
Yeah.
So it's not counterintuitive for us to be there predominantly. It's not the only reason we're there.
No.
But to save I would say maybe I'm wrong, but that's the number one reason why we're there. First, that's the first order of business. Then, of course, very important, gospel, parent, all that stuff.
Yeah, help.
But when you see someone being immediately murdered, you're not going for the murderer to talk to them.
Yeah.
You're going to snatch that child or animal, even in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're going to see a murder happening and you're going to want to protect the thing that's being killed.
Was at a gas station last week, pumping gas. A woman pulls up in a bicycle, pulls out a machete. Did I tell you this?
No.
I didn't tell you this story.
No.
She pulls out a machete and comes after this guy in the parking lot.
Oh my gosh.
He has to pick up a bike to block her. This lasted for like 10 minutes while this woman is swinging this machete at this guy, hitting him, swinging at him, I'm calling the cops and the cops showed up. You know what the cops didn't do?
Say, oh, it's safe.
They didn't ask her how she was doing. They did not
ask
her.
Ma'am, you will regret this.
They didn't ask her. They didn't say, ma'am, you're going to feel real bad about this later. They didn't do that. So, by the way, do I want to acknowledge the pain and the complexities of guilt and shame and everything else that come from? Yeah, you know what? I've answered that with people, and I could show you the women, and I could introduce you to them, Natural Mama, who have actually experienced the grace of God and forgiveness in Christ, whose lives have totally been transformed. They would talk to you about the guilt and shame, the struggles they've had over what they've done.
Some of them, I'm sure, that reported immediate relief.
Yeah.
They got their abortion. They were relieved.
Yeah.
But that didn't last.
Yes. And safe for, again, whom?
Yeah.
Who's the safe word? Real quick, the whole thing on the abortion pill, let's not talk about the fact. I love how no one mentions the fact. And I know about it because I have to deal with the fallout of the guilt and shame for the women that have. Let's talk about the fact when you take these abortion pills, it may not be a surgical procedure, but don't forget, you're still going to give birth.
Yeah.
You're still going to give birth to that child.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about the fact that I can share with you stories, Natural Mama, of the women who have taken the pill that have to actually expel their baby. And I can introduce you to a woman that I know very personally, who's an amazing Christian woman, who had to bury her child after the abortion pill in her parents' backyard. That's where his grave is. So this whole thing is, you know, it's safe. For who? Who's it safe for?
Well, I was just going to say real quick, brothers and sisters are listening to this, you'll notice, we talk about this, but they're trying to change the language.
Yes.
And we have to not allow that.
Yeah.
It's so stupid to me to hear someone say, well, it's safe. What? It doesn't make sense. Murder is safe. That's just, it's stupid.
Yes.
It's ignorant.
Yeah.
And I'm angry.
Yeah.
And Christian, if you're listening, you should be angry as well.
You make the excellent point, Luke, about the fact that it's a change of language. It's a very subtle technique.
Yeah.
It's a very subtle technique to switch to for the woman. Well, let's be honest. It's murder. It's your child living within your womb. It's a unique and distinct life, biologically speaking. Has its own DNA and language that describes it. And you had the same thing. And you're ending its life. I love abortion. With Natural Mama, we're right back.
Radio. We'll be right back.
I hear so many Christians murmuring about their imperfections and their failures and their addictions and their shortcomings, and I see so little war. Murmur, murmur, murmur. Why am I this way? Make war!
Testament verses. We know Psalm 139, famous passage in the Old Testament, that God forms us in our mother's wombs. Galatians 1:15, New Testament, Paul says, "But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace before he was born, set him apart." You know, Luke 1:15-17, he'll be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Even from his mother's womb, John the Baptist. In the mother's womb, that's how Christians value human life. That which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Who's that talking about? Matthew 1:20-21? That's Jesus. He who is conceived in her. He, the identity of a person conceived in her. That's the beauty of life. Culture of death denies that. Here we go. More from the I Love Abortion video from Natural Mama.
And while those stories are horrible, those stories are by no means a majority. Having an abortion is safer than being pregnant.
I want to talk about that.
Okay. Having an abortion is safer than being pregnant.
This is with this girl and Emily Letts. It's the first time I've heard this freely thrown around. And when I read it in the article that Emily Letts wrote, or the interview, or whatever it was, that reading that like reduced me to tears. I had to stop reading the article. Mm. And for some reason, it just hit me, and I realized why it hit me. Women, stop believing that this world loves women. Mm. They hate women. They kill women. They abuse women sexually, verbally, physically. And they will not set you apart as a woman like God did.
Yes.
When he made you a woman. They will try to make you not a woman, or they will try to make you more like a man mm-hmm. in roles, but they will not celebrate your uniqueness. They will not glorify you like God glorified you when he made you a woman. Mm-hmm. It makes zero sense to consider yourselves a Christian and a feminist in terms of that this world has set. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense. I will tell you right now, if you love being a woman, do not listen to the world. Please yeah. do not. It is horrifying to me that something that we've been given this opportunity to have children. The idea that we should not be pregnant and not have children simply because it's safer than having children. If thank God we did not adopt that at the beginning of time, because we wouldn't be here. We That's wouldn't right. be doing this. If women were not supposed to have children, why do they, first of all? Mm-hmm. It is not just like this thing that God made us to do because, oh, well, how else is the world going to continue on if we don't have women? He specifically made us. He made us before Christ came. He made us with the image of Christ and his bride. Mm-hmm. So before Christ, before people even knew, they knew he was coming because of prophecy. But before he was around, God created women with this sort of parallelism between Christ and his bride. Mm-hmm. We're important.
Beauty. There's beauty. There's
yes.
dignity. There's a uniqueness.
Yes.
There's a value to you as a woman that makes you very unique and precious and beautiful in a way that I don't have those things.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're right, is that it seems empowering to some of these women, some of these beliefs, but they never actually thought through the implications
yeah.
of them. It robs them of their uniqueness.
Yeah.
But also, in getting here, you know, it's safe. Again, safe.
No.
Whom is it safe for? Who? Not the baby, certainly. And safe what? Emotionally? Spiritually? Let me tell you, it's one of the most dangerous spiritual things you'll ever do. Mm-hmm. We're all sinners and we're all worthy of condemnation. And there is peace, by the way, in Christ by through repentance and faith and trusting in him. But let me tell you right now, it is not safe to be a murderer before a holy God. That is not safe.
No.
It's not safe. No. And, you know, it's not a very good argument if you say, hey, we're going to rob this bank, but don't worry, it'll be very safe. Yeah. We've worked out all the details. We've figured out how to accomplish this robbery in a very safe manner. Don't worry. It's very safe. The chances of you getting harmed in this, slim. Okay? Slim. Now, I know people have gotten caught before and gotten harmed, but we've got it down to a science. It's safe now. You see the point? It's not a good argument. It's not consistent. It's not logical. No. We're talking about the act itself. It's murder. From a biological perspective, no question, you're ending a human life, a unique human life. From a biblical perspective, primarily and first and foremost, it is a human life, and you are guilty of murder when you kill it.
Well, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
If it's so safe, I mean, if it's so unsafe to be pregnant, don't have sex. Mm-hmm. If you're so fearful of being pregnant, you're obviously not that fearful.
Yeah,
because you're still engaging in the activity that gets you pregnant.
When someone
is legitimately fearful, they go to lengths to not get themselves in that situation. Mm-hmm. The point is, you're not fearful. It's not unsafe to be pregnant. You don't want to be pregnant.
That's right. That's right.
Safer than going through childbirth. You're more likely to die in childbirth than you are in an abortion. I think Emily did a really good.
Again, who are we forgetting about? Who are we forgetting about? It's a great switcheroo, right? Yeah. You're more likely to die in childbirth than you are in having. But every single time in an abortion, somebody dies.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Every single time.
That is not true.
Yes.
Like, let's just say, oh, that's not true.
That's right.
Thing by posting her video. I think we need to see those positive abortion stories. I posted Emily's story to my Facebook wall. And that was 2 days ago. And I've had 3 people already message me and tell me that they had abortions and thank you for posting this because it makes them feel better. It's good to see these positive stories. I've heard from so many women that they had abortions and that they would do it again. They don't feel bad about it. And why should they? It's their right.
Okay. So, and here's the thing. I want to acknowledge something right off the bat. I absolutely understand that when you post this video, people say, oh, that makes me feel so much better. I completely understand it. Mm. It makes perfect sense to me. Because you see, we never like to sin on our own. We love to bring people down with us. No one likes to be alone as a criminal.
They not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them.
That's right. That's right. And you know, I think it's important to point out, you know, that's not something that should surprise anybody as a Christian, as a thinking person at all, that you would want people to give you approval, that you want people to give you support and to soothe your conscience. Because guess what? The reason why people love these stories is because it soothes their conscience. They love to hear that people are accepting of what I've done. People will accept me for what I've done. No one wants to be seen as the pariah. No one wants to be set on the outside. People want people to say, this is okay, I can do this. It's usually why gangs huddle together and do their crimes together. They don't want to go it alone. It's lonely out there. Stay with us, guys. We got more to come. Some important stuff right here on ApologiaRadio.com.
Apologia Radio will be right back.
Authority, like we're the ones ruling reign. The mentality of the majority is more than metaphorically morphing into
Proverbs,
a form of who we were.
Proverbs chapter 1. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Listen closely to this. Wisdom from God here. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Wow, man, right? Whew. That's word, the words from God right there. Mm. Important to listen to. That's what people do. They try to entice you to go along with them. Applaud Emily Letts. Mother kills her own child. Celebrate it. It's good to have these positive stories. Come with us. Come with us. Shed this innocent blood. So we'll fill our houses. All will be well with us. We'll have one purse together.
It is our reproductive right to have an abortion. It's legal and it is safe.
All right, it's our reproductive right. No, you have the same rights as anybody to reproduce. Listen, what happens is a man and a woman get together and they reproduce. They create a unique life within. That is a reproductive right. You're allowed to reproduce all you want. Guess what? You have the same reproductive rights I do. We're not arguing against reproductive rights and your right to have children and to have a generation after you and to raise up kids and leave a legacy. Nobody's arguing with that. Reproductive rights are the right to reproduce. Mm-hmm. You're not fighting for the right to reproduce. You're fighting for the right to deduce, to deduct, to end life, not to reproduce. Mm-hmm. You're not. You've already reproduced. Reproductive rights? Nobody's arguing against your right to reproduce. We're arguing that when you have reproduced, you don't have the right to kill it.
Murder rights.
That's right. The amazing switch of languages here. And guess what? Here's the thing. You're talking to Christians today that don't buy it. You see, you may be able to get by with this language in a club of people who love to run and are swift to shed blood, but you don't get by with it with people who actually can critique your thoughts. You put it out publicly. These aren't reproductive rights. Nobody's arguing against your right to reproduce. We're arguing against your claim that you should have the right to end the life of the life you've produced. Amazing. Reproductive rights. What, it's just an amazing thing, right? Yep. And there it is again, playing at the heartstrings of the culture. Mm-hmm. Well, don't you want the right to reproduce?
Yeah. You don't want somebody else controlling your womb.
And you go, nah, goodness gracious, no, it's my womb. I want to be able to reproduce when I want. Mm-hmm. Great. Guess what? No one's arguing. It's your womb, and it's your right to reproduce. Mm-hmm. No one's arguing with that. The problem here is what you're actually doing and engaging in. You're ending a life. It's not reproductive rights.
But we have people out there who are trying to take that away. They're trying to take away that right. And
you have a right to reproduce. You should not have the right to kill your baby.
Mm. Trying to shame us into not talking about it. I think this is a big step forward, that we can talk about abortions and not have it necessarily be a negative thing. All women should be able to share their stories without shame and without guilt.
Should
found only in Christ.
Right. You're looking for the ability to be free from the shame. It's great. Found only in Christ. That's good. That's an excellent point. But watch this. What's with the conflict here, Natural Mama? Why do you think it is that you have to fight so hard now in this issue to try to avoid shame and guilt? Why? Why do you think that is? Because the guilt and shame that you feel and you sense and everybody does in this is real.
Mm-hmm.
It's real and it's unavoidable. And you could try to put salve on it. You can try to do everything you can to cover it up and to wash it away, but only Christ himself can wash your sins away. Like Luke says, only Christ, and in him can you find freedom from guilt and condemnation. You were going to say something, I think.
Me?
Yeah.
I could say a million things.
But notice this. The law is written on your heart. You're an image bearer of God, and so is every single woman who's ever ended the life of her child. Listen, there's hope. If you're listening to this show, there's hope right now. Jesus died for sinners and rose from the dead. He's God himself in the flesh. He lived righteously and died for sinners. He loves sinners. And you can turn from sin to trust in him now, where there is freedom and forgiveness and peace forever, forever. And guess what? Legitimately no shame. Not the kind of freedom that Natural Mama has to offer you. And that's just a temporary soothing of your conscience. Why do you think you have to fight so hard to stop people from feeling guilt, Natural Mama? It's because when you end the life of your child, that's a natural result of that. Natural Mama, it's not natural to argue for what you're arguing for as a mama.
Apology Radio will be right back.
ApologyRadio.com, guys, get us reviewing I Love Abortion by Natural Mama on YouTube in support of Emily Letts, the abortion doula who recorded herself having an abortion. There's people today saying, you know, did she really have an abortion? Not going to get into that discussion. Doesn't matter. It's not relevant to this. I Love Abortion, a mother calls herself Natural Mama with her kids playing in the background, arguing for abortion. We're going to continue this on. Here's the important bulk of this, guys. Get ready.
It's a pregnancy. For some reason, they think that being happy about an abortion means that somebody can't be sad about their miscarriage. Or they were saying that if you say that it's not a baby, then that hurts lost mothers. But scientifically speaking, it's not a baby. It's a fetus.
Okay, here's my question to you, Natural Mama, and I'm going to make sure she gets a copy of this episode. Natural Mama, here's my question for you. Why are you speaking Latin? Why are you doing that? You listen closely to this. You said, scientifically speaking, it's not a baby, it's a fetus. My question to you is, first and foremost, before we begin the bulk of the discussion with the refutation of your claim, scientifically speaking, it's not a baby, it's a fetus. My question to you is this: why are you speaking Latin? You see, fetus is a Latin word, and it means baby or small child. So what you're saying is, scientifically speaking, it's not a baby, it's a baby. Why are you speaking Latin? Speak English. See, that's the ignorance of the pro-choice movement,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
If we can just not call it baby,
yeah,
we'll soothe the conscience of the women who are engaged in the process. So let's call it, I don't know, let's find a fetus. But they don't realize is that many of scientific, you know, terms are used Latin terms, and they don't realize when we use scientific terminology that fetus, that well, they use Latin, and it just meant small child or baby. They do not do enough homework or thinking to realize that. And so you have a woman like this saying, well, it's not a baby, it's a baby. Mm. And she doesn't even know it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's never done her homework.
Yeah.
But I want you to respond to this. But scientifically speaking, it's not a baby? Really? That's interesting. Because I thought we were beyond this now, honestly.
No,
I thought we were past it by now. Listen, first and foremost, God has already spoken in this issue. You reject him, you become a fool. You reject his word, you're reduced to absurdity. And I'll have that discussion with you. And by the way, you're still invited on the show. We'd love to talk with you. But scientifically speaking, it's not a baby? Really? Because biologically, scientifically speaking, it is a matter of fact that human life begins at conception. It has its own unique DNA formulation of life. It is a distinct life. It is not you. It may be in you, but it is not you. Couple examples here from a couple things that might actually help you. let's talk about excellent on princeton.edu. You can look at articles talking about the embryo and all the things of life. But important, you can look at, let's see here, a couple things. Let's just read Cloning Human Beings, Report and Recommendations on a Natural Bioethics Advisory Commission. Talks about embryo, the developing organism from the time of fertilization until significant differentiation has occurred when the organism becomes known as a fetus. Now, again, what's that a Latin word for? Baby. Okay. Human development begins after the union of male and female. Fertilization is a sequence of events that begins with the contact of a sperm and ovum and ends with the fusion of their pronuclei and the mingling of their chromosomes to form a new cell. The fertilized ovum, known as a zygote, is a large diploid cell that is the beginning of a human being. Essentials of Human Biology, Keith Moore, Toronto, 1988, page 2. On and on and on. I would say that most among most scientists, the word embryo includes a time from after fertilization. This is Dr. John Epig, senior staff scientist, Jackson Laboratory, and member of the NIH Human Embryo Research Panel. The development of human begins with fertilization, the process which the sperm and the ovum from the female unite to give rise to a new organism, the zygote. Now, what's the difference? That's, by the way, medical embryology. Medical embryology. Baltimore, Williams, and Wilkins, Sadler, T.W., Langman's medical embryology. Listen closely to this. You cannot, in this day and age, claim from a scientific, biological perspective that this is not a human being from the moment of conception. You cannot. You are years late, natural mama. Mm-hmm. You are late. That argument is over and done with. Here's the difference. Everyone needs to listen closely to this. The only difference from a biological and scientific perspective, the uniqueness of human life between what happens at conception, what is there, and what you are now, natural mama, and what you will be at 65 is only the difference of degree. Everyone knows in this discussion about the sled argument, it's rock solid. From a biological perspective. You want to argue from a biological perspective, natural mama? Let's do that. The only difference is sled. Are you ready, guys? Sled. S-L-E-D. Size, level of development, environment, and degree of dependency. Not a baby, it's a fetus. Not a baby, it's a baby. Okay. Biologically speaking, it's distinct human life from the moment of conception. The only difference is in degree. Size. Well, it's very small. When do we kill human beings and say they don't have full personhood because of their size? If that were the case, my wife is in big trouble. Honestly. Mm-hmm. When do we lose personhood because of our size? Well, it's very small. It's very small. What do you lose? So you're not biologically a human because you're small? How about level of dependence or development? Sorry, level of development. Well, they don't have the same capabilities as us. Well, neither does the 39-year-old who is in a serious car accident and receives a blow to his head and is now damaged from that. He has actually a level of development different now, doesn't he? Does he go in and out of personhood because of level of development? Right. Guess what? You know what also has a level of development different? My 5-year-old.
Yeah.
He's different.
Natural mama's children have a different level of development.
Yeah. When do we kill human beings and say they have no personhood, they are not fully human because of the level of development? Guess what? When I was in high school, I helped my senior year. I spent hours and hours and hours in a class with people with special needs in wheelchairs. Some of them couldn't feed themselves. Some of them couldn't wipe themselves. Guess what? Fully human. Mm-hmm. Can't kill them. The level of development, guess what? You'll go natural mama in and out of that level of development your whole life. So will your kids. So will you. At 78 years old, guess what? Stuff starts to fall off. Stuff starts to fall off and go down, mentally speaking. And our level of development changes. So do we kill human beings because their level of development is different? How about this? Environment. Well, it's in me. It's my womb. What's in your womb is not you, by the way. You want to talk science and biology? Do your homework, natural mama. Do some studying beyond your own narrow domain and liberal propaganda. Do some study. Understand that what's in your womb is not you. It's a distinct human life created in your womb. Mm-hmm. Again, and the difference, size, it's smaller. So what? So is my 5-year-old. So is my 9-year-old. So is Luke. He's big. He's different size. Okay? Level of development. They do different things. They're not quite formed yet. When do we kill human beings? Because they're not fully formed yet. Environment. It's in my womb. Guess what? We go in and out of environments all the time. At times, my 5-year-old is in the same room with me, sitting next to me on the couch. And other times, he's in his other room. When do we kill people because of where they're at? You're in a different location. You deserve to die? Or I have the right to kill you because you're in a different environment? When is that ever a basis for human personhood? It's in a certain place? How about this? Degree of dependency. Well, it's dependent upon me. Guess what? You go in and out of degrees of dependence your whole life. And I'm going to ask this question. The children behind you, natural mama, the children behind you in this video, they're not in your womb anymore. But I have a question. Are they dependent upon you? would it be appropriate for you to say at some point now, you know, these kids are dependent upon me and they don't have a right to use my body in this way and my time in this way. I have the right to kill them. You would never say that, would you? No, you wouldn't, because you've looked into their precious eyes. You looked into their face. And you know that any mother who does that is a murderer. And guess what? It's no difference because it's in a womb. SLED, size, level of development, environment, degree of dependency. That is the difference between where you're at the beginning and where you're at now. You will go in and out. You do not become human when you come out of the womb. You are human from conception. It is a biological fact. Natural mama just doesn't know it. So she says, it's not a baby, it's a fetus. So it's not a baby, it's a baby. Exchange of terms. Pastor Luke?
Yeah, well, two things. One, like you said, it's an old argument, so stop. I'm tired of hearing it.
It's dead.
Most leading people to support abortion will say it's a baby.
They acknowledge it today.
The point is, you don't care whether it's a baby or not. You are more concerned about yourself and your comfort. You're worshiping the God of comfort. You're willing to sacrifice your children to Molech so that you can be comfortable. That's what it boils down to. So I don't want to hear that argument. I'm tired of hearing that argument.
But there's more. Go ahead. I want to hear this.
So, two, she talks about, I'm fired up right now because, you know, she talked about the whole thing. Well, you know, people that have miscarriages, you know, like they should be allowed to be upset. And okay, so just 2 days ago, my wife's almost 14 weeks pregnant. 2 days ago, we thought she was miscarrying. We sat in the ER for 5 hours dreading to hear the doctor say that she was miscarrying. And it was horrible.
Yes.
And, you know, yeah, I am upset. I am upset that you're going to sit here and brag about the right to be able to kill your own child when, you know, it's been very difficult for us to get pregnant and to have that feeling. Praise God, the baby's okay and everything's fine. But, you know, just... I'm angry. It's ridiculous and it's insulting. And yes, people that have miscarriages should be allowed to grieve, but they shouldn't have to hear people brag about killing their babies like it's nothing. Because it's not nothing. Especially to someone in our situation. It's a huge deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know the fact that she brings up, you know, if somebody kills their baby and has an abortion, they should be able to have a positive experience versus the person over here that's having a miscarriage. They're still allowed to be sad about it. Well, I have a question. On what basis? You already said it's not a baby. It's a, quote, in your terms, fetus. Again, stop speaking Latin. Start speaking English. But you haven't given a basis as to why. It's just this conflicted, contradictory world view and life view that you have when you can't make sense of anything. You're just reduced to nothingness, just foolishness. Well, you know, you're allowed to kill it because it's not really anything at all. It's just, you know, it's not really a human being. It's just a fetus. But over here, you're allowed to be sad because, you know, you really wanted life.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the basis?
Yeah.
So if I want it, mm-hmm. then I'm allowed to be sad over it. But if I don't want it, then I'm allowed to celebrate killing
exactly
it. That's the most absurd thing ever. And the amazing thing is people like her actually believe that her worldview actually sustains like a test of rigorous thought and like questioning. Really? So what makes a human being a life and worthy to be grieved over is whether you want it or not.
Mm-hmm.
That's your position.
Well, and then, I mean, does that extend to other people's wants and desires? So if somebody else doesn't want you to have life, are they allowed to kill your baby? And then you just grieve over it because you wanted life. Like, that's just no standard at all.
Yes.
It's no standard. And at the end of this video, she makes another call to feminism and rise up and support women who've had miscarriages, support women who've had abortions and vice versa and all this stuff. You guys, it's a lie.
Yeah.
It's a lie. Having babies celebrates womanhood. It's like one of the most feminist things that you
ever
can do.
And beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? A special gift that women have that guys don't have. How special is that?
There you go.
And to rob women of that very unique thing.
Well, and to tell them that it makes them more of a woman to be able to not have kids.
Amazing. It's the lie, and you've caught it. Repent and believe the gospel, guys. It's good news. Hi, this is Jeff Durbin, host at Apologia Radio, also the pastor at Apologia Church. You can get us at apologiachurch.com. We have officially moved to Sunday morning services. We want to invite you to come and worship with us. 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, southwest corner of 60 and Rural at the Embassy Suites. We are committed to worshiping Christ in spirit and in truth, and to building strong biblical families, and to expositional through the Bible teaching. Please join us for worship as we work towards the exaltation of Christ throughout the world.
This is the Ministry Bear, also discipleship pastor at Apologia Church. The location we're meeting at is the Embassy Suites at 4400 South Rural Road, and that's in Tempe. Again, we're meeting at 10 o'clock a.m. on Sunday mornings. Please join us, apologiachurch.com.
Embassy Suites, 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, apologiachurch.com.